compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. As we consider the call to evangelize, like the first followers of Jesus, we must be people convinced of the truth. History tells us that the news of Jesus spread like wildfire and reached most of the known world within 30 years after his death and resurrection, not by the internet or by media, but a small band of people who could not stop telling people about the irresistible Jesus, that Jesus is alive and can be known. And they were wholeheartedly convinced that Jesus was God incarnate, that God actually came to earth and took on our sins, suffering a brutal death on the cross so we could live. They were convinced that in him alone salvation is found, and they were radically changed, even risking their very lives to share his eternal news with others. Will we? A dear friend of mine from an unnamed country in the Middle East said people put blood on her home and threatened death to her family members. Yet she said to me, "Carrie, nothing will stop me from sharing the gospel with my people." Are we willing in North America to risk a little rejection for the sake of the gospel? Will we? We must witness with gentleness, respect, and joy to give a reason for the hope that is within us, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I beg us all not to dilute the gospel message. It is the truth and the only truth that will set us free. So we are to be convinced of the truth and compelled, as St. Paul says, compelled by Christ's love, the most powerful way to be change agents for our Lord is to be radically transformed by the love of Christ ourselves. Yet we cannot give what we don't have. Do we have a daily habit of spending time in God's presence, in prayer, in his word, in silence? Do we remind ourselves daily that we are loved unconditionally by the Lord of the universe? We can easily, I am preaching to myself, spend more time doing the work of the Lord and not enough time with the Lord of the work. One thing I highly recommend, and some of you might already be doing this, is to find a mentor who is farther along the path than you are, who can help you grow in the love of Jesus. I have two, and they have absolutely changed my life. One is 81 and still running the race strong, and I watch him daily. Convinced by the truth, compelled by love, and lastly, we are called to communicate. St. Teresa of Avila said, "We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are also his mouthpieces." As St. Paul wrote, "We are Christ's ambassadors." Imagine if the whole church, every member the world over, grasped each moment that they were ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and that that ambassador mentality permeate every inch of them. This was initially a great challenge in the Episcopal Diocese of Dallas. When I came and said, "We're going to do evangelism," they said, "Oh, no, no, you don't understand. We're Episcopalians. We don't do that. That's for another part of the body of Christ, or for the priest, or for Billy Graham. It's for the professionals." But we started teaching on it, and we're getting it, and it's infectious, and people see that God is on the move, and now it's like a great adventure, and we can't get enough of participating in what God is doing in the world. And we're doing this on four levels. First, we're doing it strategically and intentionally. If we don't do it intentionally, it'll get lost and pushed to the side. So we're focusing in four areas. First, in personal evangelism. Over 80% of people come to faith in Christ through a friend or a family member. We're equipping our congregations in how to naturally, through workshops, share their faith in their everyday lives, how to gossip the gospel. Personal evangelism and basic apologetics training is desperately needed throughout the church today. I can't tell you time and time again, I hear, I don't know how to begin to talk about my faith. Where do I start? It has strengthened our people tremendously. Secondly, we engage in small group evangelism through seeker Bible studies. We say to seekers, have you ever wondered about what Jesus was really like? Come join a small group of us in a relaxed environment and explore. Thirdly, we still find there's a place for larger proclamation events. This is not passé. We need to win the argument for Christ in the public sphere, but it needs to be done creatively. We can be biblically faithful and culturally relevant in public arenas. We do events where the gospel is shared in coffee shops, arts festivals, concerts, pubs, and lastly, we engage in works of charity, caring for the poor and those in need. We not only speak the good news, we seek to be good news for those in need. Yet many members of our congregations find it much easier to share a cup of water than to speak of the living water himself. We must do both, show and tell. St. Paul wrote in Romans, "How can they believe if they have not heard?" We have the message of abundant life, the life we were made for. Paul ends his passage, "As co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Let us bear witness to Christ with all that we have and all that we are, no longer living for ourselves, but for him, convinced by the truth, compelled by his love, and called to communicate in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit."